When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday back here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. 1 o'clock East 12 Central. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, we got you covered here. We're going to hit on the Senior Bowl coming up this weekend. So lots of players, of course, stock up, stock down. We'll discuss that, no question. Of course, plenty going on as well in the NBA. So let's get to our headlines here on the show. And we'll start with that. 76ers, Mavericks headlining tonight's 9-game NBA slate. If I'm not mistaken, did the Mavericks as like 15-point favorites lose to OKC the other night? I think I may have seen that happen. We'll see what happens tonight. Creighton Seton Hall highlights tonight's college basketball slate. Cincinnati announces yesterday they're going to go to the Super Bowl on Tuesday. And of course, Media Day is Wednesday, so we'll have that covered for you here. And then Micah Parsons wins the fastest man competition. And the reason I know this, Davis, is because I saw that the Pro Bowl was this weekend. I had absolutely no clue whatsoever, but when I was getting ready and preparing for our daily fantasy segment on the Super Bowl, I noticed that there are actually DFS games for the Pro Bowl as well. I was tempted to even throw some pricing in the show today, but I said, you know what? I just can't do it. I mean, are you really going to play the Pro Bowl DFS this weekend?
Of course. You think they would be offering a contest where there's a little bit of edge to be mined via, you know, figuring out information, figuring out historical trends on what positions tend to get over-rostered, which positions tend to get under-rostered. Of course, I will be playing the single game, showdown contest for the Pro Bowl. There was no Pro Bowl last year due to the coronavirus, but I'll go ahead and give you your little pointer here, which is that the lowest number of players on a roster on offense is tight ends. Each team only has, I think, 3 tight ends, but there's, 6 running backs, 10 wide receivers, and the coaches are, they're just going to rotate them in willy-nilly pretty much. So I'll just go ahead and leave you with that. The tight ends are going to be in there for huge chunks of the game.
Yeah, not something that I will be highly engaged in this weekend, no doubt. Also, if you don't mind, Davis, I haven't followed the golf tournament that's going on this weekend. I know that you and George, last week talked a little bit of golf, and, naturally, yesterday things got underway there. I noticed a couple of players having to bow out in terms of the tournament this weekend. What do you think so far?
Well, one of my all-time favorites, Tom Hoagie, is right now in solo first place. He is 9 under par, started out with a double bogey this morning, then immediately birdied the next 2 holes. He's actually was a guest of my podcast about 2 years ago, so always root for him. The Pebble Beach, it is, look, I love golf. It's an amazing golf course. It looks so good on TV. This event is the worst on TV. I mean, you got Bill Murray, who just is on the broadcast the whole time, and Aaron Rodgers is there. Actually, I don't know if he's there this year. He might have worn out his welcome at this event, but Josh Allen is there playing this weekend. Justin Timberlake always plays this event, but the rounds take like 7 hours because it's a pro-am. Mm-hmm. And so they do like best ball with their partners. But really what it is lots of CEOs get their airtime here, you know, lots of 9 handicap, you know, the CEO of Raytheon or whatever will get his TV time. It's awful. It's awful TV, Craig. Welcome to everyone on radio. Of course, Craig Mish and Davis Matic here with you.
Yeah, we're here on Sports Grid Radio. Are you surprised that Micah Parsons won the fastest man competition?
I am extremely surprised. I mean, obviously he's like a crazy freak athlete and everything, but what, you know, Mecole Hardman didn't do this. Cordarrelle Patterson was not involved in this.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I mean, I to be honest with you, I did not watch this event, but I like if I was wagering on this event, I would have put Tyreek ahead of everyone. I would have said just a kick returner, a punt returner. I mean, Micah Parsons weighs like 250 pounds. Like, how is it possible? I'm gonna have to do some investigative journalism on this. Like, how did he win this event?
Yeah, no, it's listen, I didn't know that it was last night. And so when we were going over the show today, I thought it was this weekend. And then this morning I saw that he had already won it. I was like, wow, he beat Tyreek Hill. So pretty cool there from Micah Parsons. Who's going to win the defensive rookie of the year, if not the defensive player of the year overall? He's definitely in that conversation. TJ Watt probably wins defensive player of the year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, coming up next, it is the Senior Bowl. And I know a lot of you certainly are not engaged as to what's going on at the Senior Bowl this week. But you're in luck, because Davis and I coming up next are going to tell you what's going on. And naturally, if you have been following the Senior Bowl and the combines for the last decade, a quarterback that we have not been talking about, or at least not that much about, is going to end up being what? The first pick overall in the NFL draft coming up? I am telling you, the quarterback inflation is in full force. So we will hit on that next, right here on Sports Grid on Fantasy Sports Today. And also, as a reminder, coming up this Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern, you can catch myself and Davis, along with Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker, for our...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses... that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Our fantasy football award show, that's this coming Sunday morning, from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern, right here on Sports Grid, which will be followed by our wall-to-wall coverage of the Super Bowl in Los Angeles on Monday morning. So stay on the grid. We got you covered. Fantasy football, sports wagering, and everything else. Davis and I will be right back as we take a look at the Senior Bowl, fantasy or reality, Sports Grid 60, as we roll on here on this Friday, right here on Fantasy Sports Today. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back in just 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Fantasy football drafts, for a lot of you I know, begin in August, but for the people who take it really seriously, like my co-host Davis Matic, it begins right now. The prep begins right now. You need 5 full months of prep to get this right, of course, coming up in August. And the one dynamic that has changed, I would say, not in the last 5 or 10 years, maybe a little bit further back than that, I'm going to say about 20 years, is the Senior Bowl and how popular it has become, and just the amount of athletes that are out there and that people can analyze. And then the combine, of course, is a whole different story. It's a life of its own, and that determines a lot. But Davis, they've done such a great job promoting the Senior Bowl, whereas players in the past, some of them, they really didn't want to play. Now it's basically seen as something that you can go and play and really improve your stock because the NFL teams are taking this seriously as well.
Yeah, you can make yourself a bunch of money if you have a good Senior Bowl. If you show up there, the coaches like you, you know, you have, because like the pre-combine process is you're going to have like interviews and stuff, but a lot of these coaches, they don't have the ability to like go through a practice to see how you practice, to see how you respond to adversity. So like if you have, you know, a good attitude during the Senior Bowl, if you practice well, if you take instruction, like those are all things that coaches are really going to take into account. And the coaching staffs of the Senior Bowl, North and South, these are NFL coaches. These are actual coaching staffs. And even if you're not drafted, I think it's the Jaguars and the Lions who are the coaching staffs this year. The Jets and the Lions are the coaching staffs this year. So now, obviously, you know, not all the players there are going to get drafted by these teams, but the coaches there, they know other coaches. It's all going to get out. So I think the Senior Bowl is a really big deal. I'll probably watch it when it's on this weekend. And football has just become, you know, they want to be 365 days a year. They want it to be a product that's always on, and the Senior Bowl is an extension of that.
Yeah, no question. All right, so this time last year, the quarterback that was in the same conversation like the quarterback we're going to talk about now was Trey Lance, who was not very well known, didn't have a lot of film, and there were some people that thought that maybe Trey Lance could go in the first round of the 2021 NFL draft. That was not a certainty, by the way, this time last year. First round, this guy was like a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. So I guess the question becomes, Davis, is this inflation going to happen with the player we're going to talk about now in Malik Willis?
Yes. Yeah, Malik Willis is going to go really high. If you want Malik Willis, it's rumored that the Pittsburgh Steelers are really in to Malik Willis because they want a more mobile quarterback to run Matt Canada's offense. I think that Malik Willis is absolutely, I would say he's probably likely to be a top 10 pick at this point. Craig, you know who also absolutely boosted their stock up at the Senior Bowl? Mac Jones. Mac Jones had an unbelievable Senior Bowl. All the coaches at the Senior Bowl, they were raving about Mac Jones's competitiveness and his accuracy. Oh, and he talks about the game like a coach, and he understands the plays. And Mac Jones, Trey Lance did definitely get a boost, but Mac Jones got a mega boost. I think without the Senior Bowl, I don't know if Mac Jones would have gone in the first round at all.
Yeah, and so we'll see a lot of good comments on Willis in terms of may have the strongest arm in the class at the combine, and also torch the combine too. Look, we're going to see about that. I personally think a lot of this stuff is overrated, but nonetheless, it's not overrated in terms of trying to predict the outcome of where the players will go. And as far as them getting drafted high, yes, I think that is a factor. But some of this stuff, I don't take as seriously as some others. But I understand the need for it, and there's a need to understand who these players are, because we're going to cover the draft for you guys like no other. And Davis, there's a tight end that certainly is getting a lot of attention there too, and a name that is brand new to me.
Yeah, Trey McBride, who went to Colorado State. And I can already tell this is going to be a guy that I absolutely fall in love with. 6'4", 260, had 90 receptions, 1,100 yards, only 10 touchdowns his entire time at Colorado State. But Colorado State only threw 15 total touchdowns in his final season. They were not a very good team. They went 3-9 in the Mountain West. They didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher. So I'm not holding that against him. But I can already tell you this is going to be a guy who gets juiced way up in the NFL draft as a result of this. This is why guys like Trey McBride are going to do everything they can at the Senior Bowl, because he basically went from being a day three undrafted free agent with, you know, the numbers that he put up and the fact that he didn't go. If you don't go to a Power Five school, the Senior Bowl is massive for you, because probably no one's seen you up until this point. Like, probably no scout has seen your games in person. Certainly, you know, I mean, maybe some of the data analysts that we know these teams have would have seen you. But I can already tell you, and, you know, we're going to be doing these shows in March and April, and I'm going to be like, Craig, you know, watch out, Trey McBride, you know, second round pick to the whoever, to the Buccaneers, to the Cowboys, to the Jets. You watch. It's happening. Like, Trey McBride is already one of my guys, no doubt about it.
I got to end this lockout. This lockout's got to end. All right. North Dakota State wide receiver. No one's seen this kid play. That's for sure. This is FCS, right? North Dakota State?
Yes. Yeah. So he's another one of those guys who no one would have seen him. Absolutely unbelievable. And, you know, to be fair, North Dakota State has, I mean, they've sent lots of guys to the NFL at this point, right? Multiple quarterbacks to the NFL, multiple skill position players, multiple linemen have gone to the NFL at this point. And having a really good season at North Dakota State is going to put you in, you know, it's going to put you, you're going to, like, probably going to North Dakota State is better than going to a Fresno State, an FAU or whatever. You know, your games will be on TV. Your national championship game is like, it's the only football game that's on that day. Scouts are definitely going to get a chance to see you. He's a big guy, 6'5", 210 pounds, kind of a style and a frame that has gone out of vogue in the NFL at this point. You know, we actually, maybe 10 years ago, we wanted all of our wide receivers to look like Mike Evans. Now we kind of like the shorter, faster, quick twitch guys. But there have been lots of great wide receivers who have not gone to Power Five schools. You know, I mean, that's just kind of the name of the game.
Yeah, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, you know, obviously went to a Power Five school, but that's sort of what you're describing there. It's, you know, it doesn't always have to be the T. Higgins. It could be the Ja'Marr Chase, and certainly that is the case. So was this an event that you will watch in its entirety from beginning to end, or will you just read the results of it?
So I'm on lockdown right now. The Omicron's found its way into our household, so I have no plans. I'm not going anywhere this weekend. I have a strong suspicion the Senior Bowl is going to be on the TV in the den here. I normally watch it. I mean, it's good. I want to develop opinions about these guys. Look, Craig, they brought a federal mediator in. I don't know when we're going to have time to be talking about baseball here on the show, so I am going to have to become an absolute expert in all of these guys for the NFL draft. Of course, we're going to have NFL draft props here on the show, so I got to be following the buzz too. You know, not only do I need to have opinions on the players, but I got to be having, you know, we got to follow the buzz, we got to follow the news. So the Senior Bowl will be on in my household.
Well, look, I'm used to it here on Sports Grid for sure, because 2 years ago in 2020, when the pandemic hit and we were on the air, all we had was NFL draft props for about 3 months. We had no baseball, no basketball, no hockey, no nothing. So I was definitely used to it. But now that we're sort of back in at least somewhat normalcy, and to still not have baseball is super annoying. But yeah, I think that that's definitely something that we will be keeping an eye on for sure. And maybe if we have some time on Monday, we'll recap what happened at the Senior Bowl, no doubt. Davis has got a lot of free time on his hands these days, apparently, so we'll handle that as well. All right, we got to take a quick break here on the show. Plenty more to come here on Fantasy Sports Today. A little bit later, we got some fantasy reality, the Sports Grid 60, and a whole lot more as we close on in on the Super Bowl next Sunday. Stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
Break. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. FanDuel has done a great job getting their pricing out for the Super Bowl next Sunday. In fact, I saw these prices, if I'm not mistaken, on Tuesday or Wednesday. The props for all the players usually come out the week of, but we figured we'd get a little bit of a head start on setting a lineup. Of course, we will set a lineup for you on next Friday in DFS, and also next Sunday we'll have Jim Sanis on the show for the Super Bowl, as well as get Davis's opinions on that. But thought this would be a good 360-degree view on the pricing rather than setting a lineup on today's show, because it is out. And so, Davis, I wanted to go through just some questions that I had, and you can tell me what you think about some of these different topics, okay?
All right, let's do it. Yeah, I love the single game stuff. Of course, you know, the number one thing to know is that for these huge contests on FanDuel, all the single game stuff that's available, your number one thing is trying to create lineups that are not going to be duplicated. Because there's a big difference between splitting first with 50 people and splitting first with 5,000 people. You don't want to share $1 million with 5,000 of your closest friends. No doubt about that.
All right, so let's get started. And you've looked at all the pricing, you've looked at all the players. Who is the most undervalued player in DFS based on his price going into next Sunday?
Yeah, I gotta think that it is T. Higgins of the Cincinnati Bengals. I think looking at the pricing overall, the way that it is slated is that Higgins, you know, he's less expensive than Kupp, less expensive than Chase, less expensive than Mixon, less expensive than both of the quarterbacks. But I think T. has a fairly decent shot of being the highest scoring player of the slate. Of course, we don't even have to go back that far. He had that 12-194-2 game against Baltimore, 9-138 in a touchdown against the Chargers, 6-114 in a touchdown against the Steelers. I mean, really, it's sort of just like if Jalen Ramsey is going to be stuck to Ja'Marr Chase for the entire game, I don't really see any reason that T. Higgins can't have, 8-150 and a touchdown, especially because he runs the deeper routes too. Higgins is targeted, deeper down the field. So you run good on a couple of those and you can have a great game.
Yeah, he had that one playoff game that, certainly was like a game changer for a lot of people and a winner in a $1 million contest on DFS, then a quiet game, and then last week a good game as well. All right, now let's move on to the player that Davis, you feel is the most overvalued player going into DFS next Sunday. Who's the most overvalued player for you?
Yeah, no doubt about it. It is Joe Mixon, who has just not been good in the playoffs, has not had a 100-yard game since week 12 against Pittsburgh. He does have one touchdown in the playoffs. He scored a touchdown against Kansas City. He's not even playing 100% of the snaps. Samaje Perine is getting in there. Actually, Perine scored the long receiving touchdown. So and Mixon is very expensive at $12,500. Now, I do wonder if that high price tag is going to actually make him under-rostered. I wonder if he only projects to be on 30-35% of rosters or whatever. But I believe he's only $500 less than Cooper Kupp. He did. I mean, to be fair, I guess he did get 24 touches against Kansas City, but he's just way overpriced. I mean, I would rather have T. Higgins straight up than Joe Mixon, and T. is $2,000 cheaper.
Yeah, it makes sense. He's a very popular name. Everybody knows who he is. He's been their starter all season long. He's been a top 10 running back in fantasy, so it makes sense that his price is $12,500. But Davis has him as overvalued going into the Super Bowl based on his price next Sunday. All right, now let's go to the player that when you're creating a lineup could deliver you under the radar value, meaning a cheaper price, Davis, but somebody that you think carries some under the radar viability.
Yeah, it's definitely Tyler Boyd, who has done nothing the last two games, 2-17 against Tennessee, 4-19 against Kansas City. But the Bengals are probably going to be without CJ Uzama. He had that MCL injury that he suffered against the Kansas City Chiefs. He limped off. Actually, just weird circumstances for this game, but both starting tight ends, CJ Uzama and Tyler Higbee, both of them are probably not going to play in the Super Bowl. So we're going to have Drew Sample and Kendall Blanton in there. But Boyd, basically he plays every single snap. He only played 70%, weirdly enough, against the Chiefs. I think because they were running the ball so much, mm-hmm. They were playing lots of two tight end stuff. But they have not had fourth and fifth wide receivers active. They have they've been leaving Trent Taylor and Trenton Irwin inactive for whatever reason. I don't really know why. Mike Thomas played two snaps. Trent Taylor played one snap. So I think Tyler Boyd is going to be out there a ton, and at 8,500, I think he's going to be viewed as overpriced relative to the backup tight ends, Blanton and Sample. So I think he's going to come in at like 15-20% owned, and he just takes one. If he scores a 30-yard touchdown, he's going to be in the winning lineup.
Yeah, speaking of Blanton, I'm very curious to see where his props lie next week. I think that's one player I'm very interested in from a Rams perspective going into the Super Bowl, maybe some overs on him. Okay, now, the player that basically, Davis, that when everyone's setting a lineup for the Super Bowl on FanDuel, they're going to be using. Who's the most used player next Sunday?
It's Cooper Kupp, no doubt about it. Cooper Kupp is the casuals love Cooper Kupp. The serious players are terrified to not use Cooper Kupp. I think that he will be the most owned MVP. I think he will be the most owned player in the flex. I mean, even the guys who are super serious game theory players, all they care about is trying to create lineups that are not duplicated that can finish in first place. I think even those guys, even if they're not wanting to use him in the captain slot, they'll be using him very heavily in the flex. I mean, Craig, just think about it from this perspective. If you were playing in a five-man league with your buddies, who would they all want to select? They would all, every single one of them, they'd all be like, oh, these teams, Cooper Kupp, yep, slotting him in, he's the best, scores the most points, he is going to be far and away the most popular.
All right, well, we talked about maybe staying away from Joe Mixon at his price at $12,500. Inevitably, a running back is going to have to be played in this thing, I would guess. So, Davis, give me the biggest boom or bust player going into the Super Bowl on FanDuel next Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking it was between two Rams players, and it was between Ben Skoronek and Sony Michel. So Michel actually played 57% of the snaps against San Francisco because Cam Akers got banged up in that game. Cam Akers has also been really inefficient ever since the first game that he came in and looked really good. And I wonder if, you know, guy's not ready for 20 touches a game since coming back from that injury. So I think they're, even if Akers is, you know, they say, okay, Akers, you're good, 100%, good to go, yada, yada. I still wonder if there's a chance that it's like a 50-50 timeshare and Michelle gets the goal line stuff. And then Skoronek played 27% of the snaps after Higbee got hurt against San Francisco. He had a pass in his hands that would have been a touchdown. He dropped it, and he is, I believe he's 6,000 in the FanDuel pricing. Again, one touchdown from him. He is definitely going to be making the optimal lineup, and I don't think he is going to be a popular selection. Also, it was between those two guys. You could also throw Mitchell Wilcox, the backup tight end for the Bengals, in there. He ran two routes last week after Uzuma got hurt. But, I mean, these are the types of plays you have to make if you want to win $1 million.
Yeah, no, you got to take your chances there. But by the way, what's the latest with Daryl Henderson? I know that his name popped up as an activation, but he didn't play in the NFC Championship, right?
He has not played. He has not been activated yet. I think if I understand the rules correctly, I believe he has to be activated by tomorrow at 4 o'clock for him to be eligible to play. I would think they'd probably want to activate him, given that Akers did get banged up, and I don't think they would want to play. Certainly, the Los Angeles Rams having to play Jake Funk or Buddy Howell in the Super Bowl is not what they would have planned. But that is a great wrinkle for all these props, for all these single game contests. Is what happens if Michelle, Akers, and Henderson are all activated? You know, who plays third downs, who gets the goal line work? I mean, that is a giant wrinkle for the Rams to throw at us.
And I think the natural question, I'll end with this, is that for a lot of people, this is the last time that they'll be able to set a DFS lineup, single game lineup in the NFL for months. So does that mean that more people are playing the Super Bowl, Davis, in DFS than any other game this season, next week?
Oh, No doubt. This is the it's far and away the biggest single game contest. I think the prize pools on DraftKings, it's like a $6 million prize pool. I mean, it's unbelievable. The size of the contests are absolutely massive, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, we all love fantasy. It's like prop betting, on steroids, pretty much.
Yeah. No. And listen, before there was DFS, I used to do this. Go over friends' houses, try and pick who would have the most yards, and go over under on different things. And now here it is. It's all for you. One-stop shop, both on FanDuel and DraftKings, no doubt. All right, we got fantasy reality coming up, folks. Boy, this Shaquille O'Neal, Ben Simmons thing It seems like it just goes to another level every day, with the latest being Ben Simmons trying to contact Shaquille O'Neal through direct message. Would you believe that? Yes, that is true. So we're going to hit on that coming up next, or at least Shaq says it's true. We're going to hit on that coming up next on Fantasy Sports Today. Then we got the Sports Grid 60. So stay on the grid as Davis and I will return in just 2 minutes. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our coverage of the Super Bowl in Los Angeles begins on Monday, so you'll want to make sure you are following us on Twitter throughout the experience at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Also, as all of the props are released on Sunday night and Monday on FanDuel, we'll give them all to you, tell you what we like, what we don't. Week-long coverage of the Super Bowl begins, so follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. And Davis, of course, as we head toward the Super Bowl, there are so many great other things to discuss. I mean, for me, I can't wait to see what some of these props are certainly going to be like. And then who knows, maybe we'll get a point spread change on Monday too. You never know.
You know, it keeps vacillating, right? Like at one point, I kind of thought it was going to run away. I thought we would see Rams 5, 5.5. And then the public money keeps coming back. Because I think this is where we are. I think the sharp money, I think the syndicates, the big number crunchers, I think they're on the Rams. And I think, Joe Public is on Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. Now you might think, oh, why? I got to follow the sharp money. I gotta be on the Rams. I mean, that's not how it works. Like pretty much the sharp money in general, is on the team that's just going to be better from like the DVOA stuff, the yards per play, things like that. But it's a football game, right? I mean, literally anything can happen. Right. It's a 60-minute football game. It's a round leather ball that bounces in weird ways. Like, it whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Okay. Falcons are up 28-3. Patriots intercepting a ball on the goal line in the Super Bowl. We've seen it all before, no doubt. Real quick, possibility, Davis, of Adam Gase, former head coach of the Dolphins and Jets, maybe being offensive coordinator in New England? How about that?
Yeah, I hope he does it, and I hope they do really well. I hope they win like 11 games, and then I hope some clueless franchise hires him again as a head coach, because that's, this Brian Flores lawsuit, I really hope it changes things in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has a snowball's chance in hell of changing anything, and I think we're going to see the same tired idiots getting hired over and over again. And I hope all the franchises that fall for it, I hope they all get punished, and Adam Gase being rehired as an NFL head coach would be absolutely hilarious to me.
Yeah, I would say doubtful at best, but you never know. You're right. They just keep recycling these guys over and over. Okay, time for some fantasy reality. As we close out our Friday, let's turn it over to our producer, Brett Levy.
All right, guys. Well, starting off today, we're going to the NBA because Shaq and Ben Simmons are feuding. And look, Shaq shared some information about how Ben Simmons has contacted him. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Shaq is going too far with his criticisms of Ben Simmons. Is this a fantasy or reality? Davis, we'll start with you.
So I have a tough time with this. I have a tough time with the Ben Simmons thing because, of course, you know, I want to respect these guys' boundaries. Ben Simmons does not owe his employer anything. And like, look, let's be honest about what being a professional athlete is. It's an employer-employee relationship. You do not owe anyone anything that is stipulated outside of your contract. And so if Ben Simmons doesn't feel like his work as a Philadelphia 76er is fulfilling him, if he doesn't feel like it's a good work environment, then whatever, you know, good for him. That I believe that. But also, on the other hand, as a sports fan, as someone who thinks Ben Simmons is really talented, it's pretty obvious that he is at fault for the holes in his game. Because if you are one, unwilling to work on your weaknesses as a player, and two, actually regressing. Ben Simmons became worse pretty much every year as a shooter, as a free throw shooter, and by the end, he just didn't even want to have the ball because he didn't want to be fouled because he didn't want to shoot free throws. I mean, you can't have that, right? I mean, you really cannot have that as a professional basketball player who's supposed to be a star. So I have a hard time with this. You know, I want Ben Simmons to feel fulfilled and happy in his personal and his professional life, but, you know, being unwilling to shoot free throws is a real problem if you are going to be a professional basketball player. So I will say Shaq probably went a little bit too far, because he always does in his criticisms of current players in the NBA. But very, very tricky situation, I think, Craig.
Yeah, Shaq is one of my favorites of all time. Experiences covering him, being around him, is almost like no other athlete that I've ever covered. It was always genuinely nice to me. So I really almost Shaq could almost do no wrong in my eyes. But I would say this: Shaq, in talking about this, specifically said, Davis, that maybe even people think that he's gone too far with it. He didn't say it's correct, but he said we did go to the same college in LSU, and you're supposed to take care of your own. But he did say at the same time, very, very much so, Davis, if he went back in time and can undo what he did to destroy the relationship that he had with Kobe Bryant and stayed in LA to win all those championships, he said he made a huge mistake, and he does not want Ben Simmons to make that same mistake in Philadelphia of worrying about whose team it is and who's the guy and who needs to do what. Because Philadelphia, essentially, with Embiid and Simmons and maybe one other piece, I mean, let's be real, it's a championship team right there. And he feels like Simmons is about to blow it. I don't think Shaq went too far with it. I think, look, when you have the stature of that kind of player in the history of the NBA, you basically can do whatever you want. If Shaq was in the same position right now, he probably still would have the ego and still want to be the guy, which is what he did. And he left and he went to Miami and he won a championship there too. So I don't think that Shaq went too far. I would say that Ben Simmons, to be honest with you, if he feels that way, had to find a better way than direct messaging Shaq on Twitter in order to get a hold of him. Like, that was the smartest way to go about it. You knew that Shaq was going to let that out, and he did. Although he did say he would not talk about what was discussed.
All right. Our next question, Craig. Going back to the NBA, the All-Star rosters were released last night. Now, the way the NBA works is there's a draft, so Team LeBron and I believe Team Giannis will be the two teams again this year. So there will be a draft next Thursday, I believe, before the TNT games. But we know the 24 players going, or at least most of them, Draymond Green, will not be attending due to injury. So he'll be an injury replacement. There's some talk Jason Tatum might be an injury replacement. But we've got a large majority of our All-Star rosters nailed down. So we have to ask, and Craig, we'll start with you. The NBA got the All-Star rosters right. The three biggest snubs that we were able to pick out: LaMelo Ball, DeJounte Murray, and Miles Bridges. So, Craig, is this a fantasy or reality?
Doug Peterson had to sign with the Jaguars, huh? I felt like that was a much more fun question than I used to have in the show before this. Okay, so look, you know, clearly I'll defer to Davis on a lot of this stuff as it pertains to All-Stars. But it is stunning that you have your most marketable player, your top rookie in the NBA, not playing in the All-Star game. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever. And it actually makes you want to rethink maybe the way that they do it. Maybe it should go back to the way that it used to be done, where it's just all fans and no one else. LaMelo Ball is clearly an All-Star. How he is not, I have no idea. Here in South Florida, Davis, you pretty much said it, I think, if I'm not mistaken, for the last 2 months, that Tyler Hero, not going to get in the All-Star game, going to get snubbed. Here we are, didn't get in, he got snubbed. So everyone in South Florida is freaking out. The Heat's like the best team in the NBA. How do they not have him on the team? So no, the NBA did not get it right this time. But honestly, popularity contest, you have Wiggins starting in the game. I'm not going to sit here and be the old man yelling at the cloud and complaining, but clearly some mistakes were made here.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can't have Chris Middleton in over LaMelo Ball. Can't do it. Can't even really have Darius Garland or Fred VanVleet in over LaMelo Ball. I mean, like, it's fine. Like, I'm fine with Darius Garland being an all-star, fine with Fred VanVleet being an all-star. You know, I wonder if you could argue that Harden is sort of in here on, you know, name recognition. Certainly has not been his best season. I mean, honestly, if I were choosing the things, he would have been a starter. I would have had LaMelo Ball as a starter over Trae Young. I mean, this is like, I don't really get my knickers in a bunch over all-star games all that often, but this is like actually bad. Like, this is a joke. And don't forget, this actually matters because of the way NBA contract negotiations work. All-star nominations and all-star appearances and being a reserve, being a starter, it matters for how much money you can make in your contract. If you make multiple all-star games, you're eligible for a multiplier to your contract. Like, you can have, I think, 5 or 10% more of the salary cap. It's called the Rose Rule. I mean, this is bad. I mean, this is not good. I'm giving the voters an F minus for this. That's really the only snub I care about. I mean, Dejounte Murray maybe should have made it in the Western Conference over, you know, Donovan Mitchell or whatever, but I'm not going to get too mad about that one.
All right. Our last question, and Davis, we'll start with you for this one. We're 1 week away from the Super Bowl. And everyone loves or hates the Super Bowl halftime show. Obviously, this year, a lot of hip-hop artists, including Snoop Dogg and Eminem. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. The most popular performer in the halftime show at the Super Bowl is Eminem. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So, I don't think this is true. Gotta think Dr. Dre is more popular than Eminem. I gotta feel like his cultural relevance is larger. More people know Dr. Dre. More people remember Dr. Dre. I mean, at least I hope that's true. I guess I can't say for sure. I don't know. Eminem, probably his music is probably more streamed and everything. It's pretty close though, Craig. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a fantasy, but it's Snoop Dogg is by far the most popular, I think. Performer in this. I mean, that guy transcends everything. He's a boxing announcer. He's, you know, an NFL announcer. He's, you know, performer, actor, everything else. You know, I mean, I don't know how I would rank him. I mean, honestly, Dr. Dre is very popular, but in terms of just him as a straight up performer, you know, I kind of put him behind. He's produced all these guys' albums, so there's no question he's the best of all time at doing that. But as far as like people wanting to see someone perform, I think Snoop Dogg's number one, Eminem's number two, Mary J. Blige is number three. I don't even know where Kendrick Lamar ranks in this, Davis. Maybe he's number one for you. I don't know. I have him last because I'm not a huge fan, but it's a fantasy, and Snoop Dogg has got to be number one. You forget about Snoop Dogg? Can't forget about him.
No, I mean, I guess I can't forget about him. I mean, for me, Kendrick, like amongst people of my generation, you know, sure, like millennials, 30 and younger, right. I would think that Kendrick Lamar would be the most popular. But I mean, Dr. Dre is like, you know, this guy is like a musical entity. Like, he is this hit maker, you know, star. I don't know. I feel like his imprint on music is so big that he's got to be the most popular.
All right. Well, we agree to disagree on that one. I think Snoop Dogg gets the top billing in this one coming up next week. All right. Sports Grid 60 is coming up next. So make sure you stay with us on the grid as we get ready to wrap up this edition of the show on Friday. As a reminder, on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern, our fantasy football award show. Make sure you catch it right here on Sports Grid. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Okay, it is Friday. Our football Fridays are about to go away. We have one more coming up for the Super Bowl. I guess it is a football Friday. We got the Senior Bowl this weekend. All right, let's turn it over to Davis, see what's on his mind as we wrap up the week. It is the Sports Grid 60.
So we were just chatting a little bit off air about our favorite sports conspiracy theories, and I have one that people never really bring this one up. I think because it's honestly too dark to even consider, considering how underhanded it was. But the machinations to move the Seattle Supersonics from Seattle to Oklahoma City started several years before it happened. Who do the Seattle Supersonics get the year before they move? Kevin Durant with the number 2 overall pick. I've always wondered if the Seahawks or the Supersonics being able to get up there in the lottery, you know, the, of course, the famous Patrick Ewing that our producer Brett Levy just mentioned. But I've always wondered if there was a little bit of underhanded making sure that the new team in the new market had a superstar. I've always wondered if there was a little bit of something there.
Yeah, we could do a whole show on conspiracy theories. And if we baseball should. Doesn't end their lockout, we may. We may. Okay, so somebody in London picked up a $30 drawing at a garage sale, and it ended up worth about $10 million. And that's cool, and that's fine, but why does that never happen to me? Why can't I ever go to one of, like, find a sports card or find, like, a coin or something like that? That ends up like, and I've done that. I picked up something for like $20 that ended up being a couple hundred. But why can't I ever find that diamond in the rough? That thing that just is like a life changer. I've investigated and been to enough garage sales and rummage sales to figure that out. I mean, think about that, $30 to 10 million. The painting was from the 1500s. Somebody just happened to have their hands on it. All right, we'll see if we can make $1 million in DFS next week. Thanks to James over at LTN, of course, Ryan and Danny and Brett Levy. And for Davis Matic, I'm Craig Mish. Have a great weekend, everybody. Break, break.